Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Samech Vav. We are holding on daf Kuf Samech Hayim and Beis. We are at the Mishnah on Kuf Samech Hayim and Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and honor his wife and children, Lulu Mishmas' mother, Golda Basim Chalda Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadie, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. First thing we're going to discuss in today's daf is the Mishnah is going to talk about when you have a Shonos in a shtar that seem to contradict each other. There seem to be two different money valuations in the shtar, or two different types of money that are described in the shtar. And the Gemara is going to bring a brisa that adds more cases of different seeming conflicts and how to interpret them in the shtar. And the Gemara is going to tell us about price controls that had to be implemented when karbanos became a little bit too expensive. And then the Gemara is going to discuss more cases where there's a stira between tachton and elyon, that which is written higher up on the shtar and that which is written lower on the shtar. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Samachem Beis. So the Mishnah discusses again, as we said, shtaros that have lishonos that are soser each other, or shtaros that have mechikos, that there are erased areas where you don't know what was written there. You see that there's something that was supposed to be there, but you have no idea what it had said. So kasabo zuzin meya di inun sloin esrin, if the shtar says that this guy borrowed from this guy zuzin meya, he borrowed 100 zuz, which is 20 sloim. Problem is, 20 sla'im is really only 80 zuz, and 100 zuz is 25 sla'im, so it doesn't match. So when you say 20 sla'im, 100 zuz, which is 20 sla'im, 100 zuz, in fact, is not 20 sla'im, sa'ein lo ela esrin. The halacha is that the malva can only collect 20 sla'im, because we assume that the shtar is was meant to be written, that he's chayiv 100 very weak zuzim, that are not so valuable, that are therefore only worth 20 sloim. Meaning we're used to currency being like a torn up dollar bill, and a crumpled dollar bill is the same value as a crisp dollar bill. But when the currency had actual value, not just representative value, so it could be that you had gruim, you had coins that were not, even though they were supposed to be in a certain surah and worth a certain amount of money, but when they got worn out and they got rubbed out a little bit, so they weren't as valuable. So we're going to interpret that he meant 100 very shvacha dinarim, which is really worth only 20 sla'im. If the shtar said zuzin mea di'inun tlasin sla'im, the mistake was in the other direction, or the discrepancy, I should say, was in the other direction, that it was 100 zuz, which are 30 sla'im, but as we said, 100 zuz is really 25 sla'im, enu elamana, he can only collect 100 zuz, and not 30 sla'im, which are really worth 120 zuz, because we assume that the shtar means to say that he owes 100 zuz, which are worth 30 very weak sla'im, very substandard sla'im. And the reason for these two dinim is very simple. Yad balashtar al tachtona, or hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. You want to say that you're owed X amount of money, so you're going to have to bring a raya that's in fact the amount of money that's owed. So that's why the Rishonim point out that if the Meiri points out that if he already paid him the larger amount of money, he cannot be toveya that he returns the difference between the larger amount of money and the smaller amount of money, because then the lova becomes the motzi mechavero. Meaning, since it's all about who is muchsak in the money, so when the malva wants to collect from the lova, the lova is the one that's muchzak, so the malva is the motzi. But if he already paid it back and he already paid the higher amount of money, and then he says, oh wait, I could have gotten away with paying less, and he tries to sue him back for the difference, well then you're the motzi mechaver, the lova becomes the motzi mechaver. That's how the Meiri writes. The Tur writes in Choshen Mishpat that even if the malva was toface the larger amount of money without the reshus of the lova, still ain't motzi miyada. I mean, not only if the lova accidentally or whatever, if the lova willingly paid the larger amount, even if the malva grabbed it, he just went into the malva's house and took the larger amount of money, the 30 sla'im, as opposed to the 100 zuz, the lova is still the motzi mechavero, and he still won't be able to get anything back. So the Shach writes, that's only when the malva tainas, a tainas bari, that he knows that this was the amount of the halva'a. But if he remembers, if he doesn't remember what the halva'a was, and he was toe-faced because it says in the shtar that I'm owed 30 sla'im, so but he doesn't really remember if that's what the amount of the halva was, then the lova can sue him him for the extra, because he's not really considered the muchzak if he just grabbed it without any permission to do so. So anyway, in either of the case, whichever way the discrepancy is made, typically if the loan has not yet been collected, the malv is trying to be motzi mechavero, and therefore he can only get the lesser amount of money. What if the shtar has a mechika in it? There's some erased word, and we don't know what it said there. So if it said kesef zuzin diinun, if he says kesef zuzin, which are vinimchak, and then the rest is erased, so we don't know how many kesef zuzin there were in that shtar. So, but zuzin is plural, diinun is plural. So ein pachos mishtayim. So we know that the lashon means it's at least two zuzin of kesef, and it could have been more than two. But yada malvala tachtona motzi mechaver la varaya. You want to prove you're owed more than two zuzin, so then you're going to have to bring a raya that you're owed more than two zuzin. We'll leave it there. So kesef slotin diinun v'nimchak ein pachs mishtayim. And similarly, if it says kesef slotin diinun, so and the next number is erased, also it has to mean at least two. Darkonos diinun v'nimchak ein pachs mishtayim. Any time you have a plural and it says diinun, it's always ein pachas mishtayim. It's always going to be at least two. Now l'chora, there's a difficulty over here, because in the reisha it said that if it says zuzin meya diinun sloin esrin, he only gets 20. So over here also we say that when it says sloim diinun shiva dinarim, that if it were to say that even though it was really shnei sloim are worth 8 dinarim, you should only be able to collect shiva dinarim. That's the discussion that the Rishonim have. So the Ramban writes that meaning what are we assuming over here? That if it says slaim, then it means it's at least two slaim. What's two slaim worth? 8 dinarim. So if it says slaim, but we don't know how many slaim it said, so it's at least two. So frek the Ramban, well, wait a second. In the ratio of the Mishnah, it said that it's not really at least two, because it could have meant two very shvacha slaim that are really worth less than 8 dinarim. Because let's say in that mechak it said, you know, it says shneis, it's a slaim diinun. Let's say in the mechak it would have said 6 dinarim. So how would we have interpreted that? We would have said, oh, must be very weak dinarim that are really only worth 6, it's a very weak slime that are only worth 6 dinarim and not 8 dinarim. So how do you know that ein pachas mishtayim, that you got to give 2 slime? Maybe you only have to give 6 dinarim. It could have written anything in that mechak. So the Ramban writes, we're not choshesh for such a discrepancy, meaning typically a sela is 4 dinarim, and if it's 2 slime, it's typically 8 dinarim. We don't have to be choshesh that there was a discrepancy of that nature, even though if there is a discrepancy of that nature, we have to deal with the discrepancy, but we're not going to be choshesh that such a discrepancy exists. So now the Mishnah discusses, what if there's an absolute stira between that which it says earlier in the shtar, that which it says later in the shtar? I mean, so far we had two cases in the Mishnah. We had a case where there was a stira that could be explained, right, where the discrepancy could be explained, and we had a case where something was missing. Now, what if there's an absolute stira? Kasubo milamayla mana or milamata masayim. Not two different currencies, it just says two different amounts. On the top of the shtar, it says mana. The bottom of the shtar, it says masayim. Milamayla masayim, umilamata mana. Then akol holech achar hatachton. We always go with what it says at the end of the shtar, whether it says mana or whether it says masayim. We don't just pick the lower number, because we assume that the original was a mistake, and then he was misakin it. He fixed it the second time when he wrote the shtar. Im kein lama kosvin es ha'elyon. If when you write a shtar, why do we write the amount of money on top anyway? If you're going to write it again at the bottom, no one's going to listen to anything that it says on the top. Meaning, if they're the same, so you don't need what it says on the top. And if they're different, we ignore what it says on the top. So why do you have to write the amount of money on the top? Shim timachi kosachas min ha'tachton yilman min ha'elyon. Because in case anything were to get erased on the bottom part of the shtar, so you'll be able to derive what it said, you'll be able to figure out what it said based on what it says on the top part of the shtar, and that's why we do that. So now says the Gemara. The Gemara brings a brisa that discusses other lashonos that are written in the shtar where we're not sure what to do with it. So Tanu Rabban, we have a brisa that says as follows: the shtar that says a guy borrowed kesef, ein pachos midinar kesef. Kesef always means at least one dinar of kesef. Kesef dinarin u dinarin kesef. ein pachos mishnei dinar in kesef. Once you use a plural, it means that it's at least two. Kesef bidinarin ein pachos mishnei dinarin dahav kesef. It means kesef in the value of two dinari zahav, and we're going to explain the reason for that pretty soon. So Amar Mar, we had just said, going back to this brisa, kesef ein pachos midinar kesef. Kesef means it's at least one dinar of kesef. Ve'ima niska, maybe it means kesef means not a matbeya, not a coined, not a minted coin, but it means just a piece of silver. So Amar Blasev, dekasef be matbeya. No, we're assuming that it says in the shtar the word matbeya. Okay, ve'ima priti, maybe kesef means just a pruta worth of kesef. Amar Papa ba'asu delo sagi priti dekaspa. We're talking about a place where they don't use prutos that are made out of kesef. They make prutos out of nechoshes. So the smallest kesef coin that they make is a dinar, and therefore that's what we have to go with, the smallest possible amount. So now we have another brisa. Tan Rabbanan, dahav ein pachos midinar dahav. Dahav means gold, no less than one dinar of gold. Dahav dinarin, or dinarin dahav, ein pachos mishnei dinarin dahav. If it says plural, so it's got to be at least two dinari zahav. Dahav bidinarin, ein pachos mi b'shnei dinarin kesef, dahav. Then you have to give gold in the amount of shnei dinarin of kesef. And again, that too we will explain on today's daf. So Amar Mas, so let's take one by one. Dahav, ein pachos mi dinar dahav, ema niska. But maybe it means that you should give him just a piece of gold. So Amar Blazar, diksim matbeya. No, it says that you don't owe him gold, that you owe him a matbeya, that you owe him some type of coin. Ve'ema priti. Maybe you're chayiv to give him a pruta of zahav and not a dinar of zahav. Priti d'dav lo avdi inshi. That nobody makes. Meaning when we discussed this with kesef, we said ba'asra de lo sagi priti d'kaspa. That we were talking about a place where they don't make prutos of kesef. Over here, the Gemara speaks much more broadly. Not a place. No place makes prutos of gold. Meaning apparently, typical thing to make prutos out of is nechoshes. Rarely you'll have places that make prutos out of kesef. Nowhere do they make prutos out of gold. So that's why the lashon is a little different. That priti davi lo avdi inchi. People don't do that in any place. So the Gemara explains the seifa of the brisa. Zahav bidinarin ein pachos mi bishnei dinarin kesef zahav. That if you say you're going to give gold in the value of two dinarim, so then it means the value of two dinarim of kesef. So ask the Gemara, how do you know the word dinarim means dinarim of kesef, and that you only owe him the value of two dinarim of kesef? Maybe zahav dahav bidinarin means two dinarim of gold. Ve'ema, and why don't you say that dinarin dahav apricha, that dinar means dinari zahav, and the fact that you said it double is because you're talking about broken pieces of gold, betray dinari dahav, that are worth two pieces of, that are worth two dinarim of gold, ka'amar. Maybe that's what the guy meant to say. So Amrabaye yad balashtar atachtona. It's true, it's possible that that's what he meant to say, but whenever the Malva wants to come collect, he's always yadu al tachtoni. He always has the disadvantage because hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. So he cannot take away from the lova anything more than the minimum of what that could possibly mean. And the minimum of what that could possibly mean is two dinarim worth of kesef. So says Mar Yachi Reshanami. If that's the case, that wherever it says it with, that it's always yad bal shtar tachtona, the earlier brisa should have said the same thing, right? The earlier brisa that we quoted was kesef bidinarin, so we said you have to give dinari kesef that are worth two dinari zav. Well, if you're just going to interpret it in the most favorable way for the lova and not for the malva, so we should have said that he gives two dinarim of kesef. And the second price where he says dahav dinarin or dinarin dahav, you should give two dinarim of gold. Why don't we just say yado al tachton and you only have to give him two dinarim of kesef? So answer Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, there's a chilik between dinarei and dinarin. Reisha, dichsiv dinarei, in the Reisha where the Lashon is, dinarei, dinareizav, and therefore cannot mean kesef. Sefer dichsiv dinarin. The Sefer says dinarin. Dinarin could mean dinarim of kesef, just as well as it could mean dinarim of zahav, and therefore we're going to go with the lesser amount. So that's the answer to the discrepancy between the two cases. Now Tosus writes that the mashmos of lashon dinarin is bein kesef bein zahav, and it's yad balashtar tachtona. Rashbam says, no, dinarin, stam dinarin, means kesef and not gold. Meaning, how do we answer the discrepancy between the cases in the brises? So the way the Rashbam understands it is that, yes, we're distinguishing between the word dinari and dinarin, but dinari means dafka gold, and dinarin means dafka kesef. So none of these cases, none of these halachos are out of suffix that we're just giving the lesser amount. The way Tosus learns is, no, dinarei means dafka gold. Dinarin can mean either one. And since it can mean either one, so we go with kesef, because we always have to do yad balashtar ala tachtona. Okay, a little bit of background for the next raya. The Gemara is going to bring a raya that there's a difference between dinarei and dinarin, but the background is that the halacha is when a woman gives birth, or if Rachman says she has a miscarriage, she has to bring a keves liola and a Torah or a ben yona for a chatas, and if she can't afford to bring a keves liola, she brings shnei torim, one the chatas, one the liola, and that's called a kan. Until she brings her karban, she's not allowed to eat kachim. If a woman sees dam over the course of three consecutive days during the Yud Aleph Yom Shebei Nida L'Nida, below Ace Nida Sa, the Torah says, when it's not the time that she's expecting to be a Nida, she's what's called a Zava Gadola, and a Zava Gadola is chayiv to bring a karban. There are many differences between a Zava Gadola and a Nida. Nowadays, of course, we assume la halacha that every woman that bleeds is a Zava Gadola, and that's why they sit. So that's why they wait Shiva Nikiyim. But in Minat Torah, Nida does not have to wait Shiva Nikiyim, and Nida has 7 days total of Tumah. A woman starts bleeding right now on Sunday morning and finishes her period on Friday, she goes to the mikvah Motzei Shabbos. That's it. It's meaning the next day, the next night, Motzei Shabbos, because it's 7 days total in Minat Torah. But we're choshesh, the chumra of Rabbi Zeira, that every woman assumes she's a Zava Gadola and therefore she requires Shiva Nikiyim. Minat Torah, though, there's another difference between Zava Gadola and Nida. They're both in Isser Kares for a husband to be with and everything else. But there's another difference between Zava Gadola and Nida, and that is karban. A woman becomes a Zava Gadola if during the Yud Aleph Yom, Shebei Nida L'Nida, during the 11 days where she's not expecting her period, and had a cheshbon those 11 days in major machlokas, Ramban, some discussion in the Shach, and Simkuf Pei Gimel, but however you cheshbon it, if she sees dam for three consecutive days during the Yud Aleph Yom, Shebei Nida L'Nida, she becomes a Zava Gadola, and she's chayiv a karban of a Zava. Karban of a Zava is also two birds, one for an Ola, one for a Chatas, and she's not allowed to eat kachim until she brings that karban. Let's say she's not sure whether the miscarriage was actually a vlad or was just that she was hipila ruach, that something else that was not yet a vlad or didn't have the status of a vlad comes out of her and would not be metame her. Or let's say she's not really sure whether when she bled, the bleeding was during Yemei Nida or Yemei Ziva, like every woman nowadays, because no one knows how to cheshbin anymore the Yemei Nida or the Yemei Ziva. Forget about nowadays, in the days of the Tanaim, Hiskin Rebbe Basados, the Gemara Nida says. Rebbe already made a takana that since nobody knows what they're looking at, nobody knows if it's Yemei Nida or Yemei Ziva, you just always have to assume the worst. So what do you do if you're not sure if you're Chayiv a Karban? So she brings a Chatas Ha'ov ala Safek, and the Chatas is not eaten, rather it's burnt. So now, with that background about the halachos of a Yoledes and a Nida and a Zava, so Umina Teimra, the Shiny Bain, Dinari, the Dinarin, what is the source that there's a difference between dinarei versus dinarin? Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah Maseches Krisus. Heisha Shayola Safek Chamesh Leidos. A woman, let's say, had a miscarriage 5 times, and each time it was a Safek, whether it was a Vlad, which would be Mitame or Betumas Leida, or it might have been a Ruach, which is not Mitame or Betumas Leida, or Safek Chamesh Zivos. 5 times she saw Dam for 3 consecutive days each time, and she doesn't know if any of them were in the Yemei Nida or in the Yemei Ziva. If they're in the Yemei Nida, she's not Chayiv Karban. If they're in the Yemei Ziva, then she's Chayiv Karban. Maybe, so 5 times this happened. So Mevia Karban Echad, she brings one Karban for all 5 Sveikos, a Tor L'Chatas and a Tor L'Ola, and those Karbanos are not burnt, are not eaten, rather they are burnt. V'ochelas b'zvachim, and since one Karban is matir her to eat zvachim, Even if she was chayv many karbanos, she could already start eating kachem at that point. Ve'ena shara le'echoven. She does not have to bring me safek, the other four karbanos, because those karbanos are going to be burnt anyway and they wouldn't get eaten. So bekoshi, we were matir to bring one karban just to allow her to give her the heter to be able to eat kachem. So bekoshi, we allowed that, but to have her bring four more karbanos that are just going to go to waste, that are just going to be burnt, we're not willing to allow that. Let's say though she had she gave birth to five children, or she had five actual legitimate miscarriages where it was an actual vlad that came out, or she became a zava gadola five times where she knows it was during the Yemei Ziva, so she knows she's a Zava Gedola, Mevia Karban Echad V'Ochelos Bezvachim. She brings one Karban, and as soon as she brings that first Karban, she's allowed to eat Kachim, Vashara Lechova, but she still needs to bring the other Karbanos, because there's no suffix about those other Karbanos. She's Chayiv five times. She had five Ledos, she had five Zivos, so of course she's Chayiv to bring Karbanos, right? Mustama, all the women, and when Mashiach comes and the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, we'll have to cheshbon how many Karbanos they owe from all the children that they had. On the Zivos, we don't know, because we don't know what's a Ziva, what's a Nida, but the children, they know that. They know how many children they have usually. So you have to bring all those Karbanos. But to be able to eat Kachim, the first Karban is going to allow you to eat Kachim. So says the Mishnah, there was a Maisa, V'amdu Kinim B'Yerushalayim, and this is why we're quoting this whole thing, V'amdu Kinim B'Yerushalayim B'dinari Zahav, that the cost of Kinim, a pair of birds that Zava was chayv to bring, and a Yoledes who can't afford to bring a Keves Liola cost dinare zahav, that these kinim cost dinarim of gold, which apparently is a lot of money. So Amram Shungam Liel Hataonazah, he said in the Lashon of Shavua by the Beis HaMikdash, swearing by the Beis HaMikdash, Im Alin Alayla, that I will not sleep tonight, Achihu Bidinarin, until the kinim that are will be sold for dinarin, meaning 2 dinar of kesef for each kan, and not of gold. Women should not have to be prevented from being able to bring a karban because they can't afford it. If they cannot bring a karban, it means not only can't eat kachim, it means they're never going to be tahora, they're going to be mevatel from Piri Verivia. They're not going to be able to go back to their husbands. So in order to bring the price down, what did he do? Nichnas lebezin. Rav Shimon Liel went into Beis Din v'limed, and he taught, Ha'isha shayola chamish ledos vada'os, chamish zivos vada'os. If a woman has five definite ledos, or five definite zivos, where we know she's chayiv five karbanos, mevia karban echad v'ochelos bezvachim, she could bring one karban, one set of birds, and she can right away eat kachim, ve'ein ashara le'achova, and she's not going to have to bring the rest, meaning right then he made a takana that she's not going to have to bring the rest, and because she won't have to bring the rest, the demand will go way down, and if the demand goes way down, simple laws of economics, the price is going to go down as well. V'amdu kinim babayom biruvasayim, and kinim that day cost a quarter of a dinar of kesef for a kan of shnei torim, which is less than his target, right? His target was that it should cost 2 dinari kesef. So, but bottom line is, from the Lashon of the Mishnah, you see dinarei meant zahav, dinarin meant kesef, right? That's the ray over here, because it was amdu kinim b'yushalayim bidinarei zahav. So he said, I'm not going to sleep tonight until it's dinarin. So you see that part of communal leadership is to make sure that people can afford things, right? That was something that was worthwhile for him to take a stand. There's a tshuva in the Tzemach Tzedek, not the Lubavitcher Tzemach Tzedek HaKadmon, where he said one time the Nachrim who were selling, the fish salesmen raised all the prices because they saw that the Jews will buy fish for Kavod Shabbos no matter what. So they were trying to take advantage. So the Bnei Kihila got together that for 2 months no one should buy fish. Right? For 2 months no one should buy fish. That will drive the prices back down, and the fish salesmen aren't going to take advantage of us. So they asked the Tzemach Tzedek whether they're allowed to do that, because you have a mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. So for 2 months, no one's going to have proper Kavod Shabbos because they're not going to have their gefilte fish for Shabbos. And also Maseches Beitza, famously, the Gemara tells us that Kol Parnasas Shaladim Ksuv Lo Mirashana V'Ad Rosh Hashana Chutz Mirtzah Shabbos V'Yom Tov Im Mosifu Yosifu Lo, that all your expenses from year to year are all your salary, whatever you're going to make, all the money you're going to make, your profits from year to year are determined, except for whatever you spend on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That comes off the top. That Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't count into the cheshbon. So what do we care if they raise the price of fish? Let them raise the price of fish and meat and challah and everything and wine and everything else that you need for Shabbos. The more you spend on Shabbos, don't worry about that. So that was the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be Poreya. So he says, the Tzemach Tzedek responds, that it's absolutely permissible to refrain from buying fish for that amount of time, based on this Mishnah that our Gemara quotes, with this Maisa, that it went up in value, and the Takana was, who was it that made the Takana? Reb Shmuel Gamliel. So, it was Reb Shmuel Gamliel, who said that a Ma'ona Zeh, that I'm going to tell people to only bring one Karban. And Rashi writes, he was being Mekel al Divrei Torah, but Eis Lassos Hashem, Rashi in Kriso says, Eis Lassos Hashem, he's Mekel al Divrei Torah, because if otherwise people are not going to be able to bring even one kan, and they're going to eat kachem betumas aguf. So if something that's a minatori he was mekel because of the expense kolshkein when it comes to buying fish, which is only the kvot Shabbos, and even though kvot Shabbos is also minatori, because the pasuk says in Yishayahu v'karasa l'Shabbos oneg, and in the Gemara in Pesachim tells us hakol modim that b'Shabbos you need lachem. Right? There's a discussion about other yom tov and about Shavuos. You need is it lachem or lachem? But Shabbos hakol modim that you need lachem, and by Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos Taf Kuf Yud Ches, you're supposed to be Ma'anik Shabbos V'Tavshel Shel Tradin V'Dogim Gedolim V'Rosh Yishumim. So it sounds like Minat Torah, you're supposed to be Mechavit Shabbos Dafka with fish. So it could be that you could fulfill Onik Shabbos, says Tzemach Tzedek, with less than that. He's just saying what the ideal Onik Shabbos is. But anything that it doesn't have to be Dafka Dagim. It could be that you buy anything and you're Mekayim Onik Shabbos. So he thinks that this Mishnah is the basis for being Mekel. The Chassam Sofer in his Chidushim on Maseches Gittin writes that according to the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnah Maseches Gittin says when the Chum saw that they were that the prices went up, they made a takana, meaning when people, the Goyim, were raising the price of them, they made a takana not to buy Minagai Minagayim, in order that to lower the prices. So Chassam Sofer discusses whether someone can send a guy to buy for him, right? And that way he'll be able to get whatever it is that he needs, and he won't violate the communal norm. And he says that's a terrible idea. then everybody's just going to send a guy. Yesh lichus l'nachri, ein shlichus l'nachri. You know, we don't have to get into the whole sugya. There's a point of what they're trying to do over here. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah, he also discusses the machlokas achronim, when it's ro'i to make a takana not to buy dagim. This we learned in the Mishnah Berurah shiur not that long ago about when it is appropriate to make such a takana, when it's not appropriate to make such a takana. But such takanas are sometimes needed to make sure that Jews are able to afford that which they need to afford. Okay, weiter in the Gemara now. Kasam milamala, we said in the Mishnah that if it says higher up on the shtar mana and it says lower in the shtar masayim, so or vice versa, we always go achara tachton. We go with what it says lower down in the shtar. So he said, why did we even bother writing what's higher up on the shtar? In case something is erased on the lower part of the shtar, we now know what to refer to. We can look at the top of the shtar to get clarity. So says the Gemara, Tanur Rabban, we have a braisa. Yilma tachton min ha'elyon ba'os achas avalo b'shtei osios. That yes, it's true. We'll learn about, we will figure out the missing word on the bottom of the shtar. We'll figure out the missing section on the bottom of the shtar when it's from the top of the shtar, when all that's missing on the bottom of the shtar is one letter. But if it's two letters that are erased, two letters that are missing, then we're not going to figure out from the top of the shtar. So the Braisa gives an example of a case where we learn tachton me'elyon, where it's os achas of the name of the malva or the name of the lova that is erased. Kigom. If let's say the after the mechika of the os, it says the name Chanan. So we could learn that it's Mechanani, that on the top of the shtar it says Chanani, that must have been the person's name. If it says Va'anan, so we could learn that it's Me'anani, that it says on the top of the shtar one extra letter, so it's so common that it would be a Yud, which is the tiniest letter, so easy for it to disappear, to be erased. So if it said Lamata only Chain or Ein, then we don't learn Chanani or Anani, meaning if it said only Chesnun or Ayin Nun, then even on the top of the shtar it says said Ches Nun Nun Yud or Ayin Nun Nun Yud, which these are apparently were common names. Only Hanan, I think, is still a common name of all these four options. But we would not learn it from the top of the shtar because that would be two letters that are missing, and we're not going to learn from a shtar that's missing two letters. I get shaylas all the time. People find their ksuba and they see that. It's barely legible. They can barely read, meaning the fill-in part, the printed part, that stays. But someone used the Messiah Kedushin used a pen that wasn't the best pen, and over years, couples married for 20 years, so it's barely legible. So barely legible is different than not legible, right? If it's barely legible, it's still kosher. So that's what I asked Rav Willig once. He said, just write, darken it, meaning once if it's still there and you can still see what it says, then you should darken it, so then you'll have it. That's okay to darken it if you know exactly what the letters are. If it's totally erased, then you have a problem. Then you have our sugya, what you can figure out, because the person's name, the chassan's name, the kala's name, appears several times in the ksuba, sometimes with discrepancies also, but it appears several times in the ksuba. So, okay, so maishna shtei osios lo, why is it that if the discrepancy is by two letters, that we're not able to learn, one from the other. So Dilma Misram Yishem Ben Arba Osios, because maybe you're going to have a name like Hanani, Vahavale Palga Deshmei, and if two Osios are erased from it, it's going to be missing half of the letter, and it's not Mistaver to learn half of a name that's written lower on the shtar from higher up on the shtar, because it's only half of a name, it says, if it's not there. So even in a place where there are two Osios that are not half of a name, let's say the two osios that are missing, but it's an eight-letter long name, right? Or longer, right? So then it's not even close to half of the name. So it goes at that as well. So ihachi, if that's the case, os achas nami, then even if there's only one os as well, dilma misrami shem ben shtei osios, maybe that's half of a name as well, because you could have names that are two osios. A guy's name is Noach, it's nun ches, and that's it. So if it's missing one letter, so it's going to be missing something significant. So Vahavale Palgi Dishmat's also half of a name. So why does the Mishnah say that Os Achas, you are able to learn the Tachton Mina Elyon? Ella Shtei Osios Hainataima. No, so it must be there's a different svara as to why Shtei Osios is a problem. The Shtei Osios in the bottom of the shtar, the reason that we don't learn it from the top of the shtar is not because it's only half of a name, but it's because Dilma Misrami Shem Ben Shalosh Osios Vavle Ruba Dishma. The concern is not half of a name. Half of a name is fine. The concern is that it might be Rove of the name, and you can't learn Rove of the name from that which it says above. So since in where it should have been Shtei Osios, it could have been Rove of the name, so the din is that you can't learn Shtei Osios in any case, even when it's not Rove of a name. But if you're missing only one Os, one thing I can guarantee you, that one Os is definitely not Rove of a name. At most, one Os could be half of a name, and therefore we have no such concern. Tosos raises the question that's a little bit strange, because of the Chashash that b'makom acher, you're going to learn Rove of a shame, mina ilyon rogozer, to make the Malva lose out on this star where there's not any chashash because his name happens to have four letters and Shtei Osios is half of the name. So the priest is Miyashiv, according to the Rashbam, that we're not talking about when Shtei Osios or Nimchak, we're talking about where he left out Shtei Osios. And the real svar is that it's not common to make a mistake of leaving out Shtei Osios, so it's mitzvah that he did it b'kavana and he was being chozer from the previous name. Meaning if it was Nimchak, then erech inami, to make such a gezerah, a guy has an eight-letter long name and they left out Shtei Osios and you know exactly what the name is. You see the mechak that you know exactly it probably was a mechika of the other two letters in the name that appears above in the shtar and it's not the rove of the name. It's not even close to the rove of the name. Maybe that doesn't make sense to make a gzeira, but if it's missing two letters is more likely that was done purposefully. So Amrav Papa. So now the Gemara discusses another case where there's a stira between that which it says higher up on the shtar and that which says lower on the shtar. So he says, pshitali, it's a davar pasha to me that seifel milamala, that if it says that this guy was mafkid to another person, a seifel, v'kefel milamata, and the letter samach turned into a kuf on the bottom of the shtar, and it said a kapal or something, milamata, which is something which means like a beged that you would, so one is like a pot and the other other is like a beged that you would fold. A kippel means something that you would be makapel, something that you would fold. The Rashbam says it's a beged. The Tosas quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that sefel means Rashi Tevus of Samach Palgi, of 60 halves, and kapel is Rashi Tevus of Kuf Palgi, of 100 chatzaim, and we're talking about money, so it's half, you know, so it's very different numbers. Others say that it's Rashi Tevus of Sa'o Upalga, and kapel is Kav Upalga, but whatever it is, there's a discrepancy, and the discrepancy is that the Samach turns into a Kuf. Hakol Holich Achara Tachton, then you follow the bottom of the Shtari, and he's got to give him, let's go with the Rashbam's interpretation, you got to give him a beged and not a safal or whatever that happens to be, or any other kelim, you give him a beged. So by Rav Papa, kapel milamayla, what if it said kapel on the top, a safal milamata, and it said safal on the bottom? Mai, mi chashinun lezvuv alo. Are we choshesh for a fly? What does it mean, choshesh for a fly? That a fly erased a section of the letter, and really lamata, it also said with a kuf, but the zvuv erased the regel of the kuf, and when you erase the regel of the kuf, it turns into a samach, and therefore we should follow what it says on the top of the shtar, because it could be on the bottom it also had said that alone, or maybe we're not choshesh that a fly went and erased a section of the bottom of the kuf, and it really is a discrepancy, and wherever there's a discrepancy, you're holy chachar a tachton. So do you assume that the tachton was tampered with by a fly landing on that spot, or do you assume that no, it's a discrepancy, and whenever there's a discrepancy, you go with the tachton? So take who the Gemara leaves out as a suffix, it has no way to resolve it, and therefore the halacha l'chara, Rashbam writes, is going to be hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. And the Rashbam adds that this is not similar to what it says in Baba Kamadaf Memvav about a shor shenagach hasapara v'nimtzu ubru betzida, where a shor gores a para and you find the baby next to it, and we don't know if it died because of the negicha or not because of the negicha, where simchas holds its mamon amutal besafik and cholkin, because over there the suffik was what happened, what was the ikra maisa. So Bezin Paskins that you're cholik the mamon, but over here there's a suffik, there's a suffik to the dayanim themselves in din, so you can't be motzi mamon from the muchsuk mi suffik. I mean, even simchas would agree in this case. Mukhe Yosef explains that over there it's something that you'll never be able to be mevarer, and therefore it's cholkin. But over here it's clear to the Balei Ashtar what they really meant, whether it was a sapal or a kapal. It's just that the Dayanim are not able to learn from the Lashon of the Shtar what the Kavana was. And that you're not going to be able to be motzi from the Muchzak. It's a different type of case. But it's an interesting thing that a Kuf and a Samach are so similar to each other that if you take out the bottom of the... What letter would you have said? If you take out the bottom of the Kuf, the bottom left of the Kuf, if you have some of it left, I would say that looks a lot like a hey, right? That doesn't look at all like a samach. So it's an interesting thing that's the assumption that so the Beis Yosef writes when he describes in Hilchos Tefillin the tzura of the Os Kuf. You know, people learn Mishnah Berurah, they typically skip these simanim unless they're into safras, you know, where I asked Rabbi Reuven Mendelitz, who's a very chashva sofer, how he got into safras. He said because he was learning Mishnah Berurah and he didn't skip it. He didn't skip the simanim, so he found it fascinating. And then now he's a world famous sofer. So. Anyway, the Beis Yosef writes that the tzura of the Os Kuf, when he writes Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzas, he writes in the name of HaChasid that you should be ma'akem the regel yamin letzad regel ha'arucha. That when you write the Kuf, you should bend the right leg of the Kuf toward the long leg that protrudes downward. And he says that's clear in the Gemara. It's Rav Papa Safik in our sugya that how would it end up looking like a samach when you take out the bottom left of the kuf? It must be because the bottom right of the kuf curves toward it and therefore looks like a samach. But that begs another question that the Tashbetz discusses. Does the regel hasmol of the kuf, is it mudbay, do you connect it to the gag of the kuf? Or is it like a hay where it's separated from the gag? By hay, it's very critical, right? That the added thing does not connect to the roof. If it connects to the roof of the kuf, then it becomes a ches, right? So that would be very problematic. But by a kuf, it doesn't become a ches; it sticks down. So should it be connected? The impression you get from our Gemara was that they were knowing to be madbik it, that they were knowing to connect it to the roof, because that's how it turned into a samach. You'd have on the right side it's curving this way, and on the top it's connected. So maybe there's a little bit of space, you know, when the zvuv comes and takes out the bottom of the regel. So, but based on the suffix of a papa and our Gemara, the Tashbitz points out lechora that was their minag. It's not our minag. He says anyway, you can't necessarily bring a raya from ksivas shtaros to the dinim of ksivas stam, because by shtaros they're not so makbid on the tsuras haosios. Meaning by shtaros you just have to write it in a way that people will know what you're talking about. So you can write it in script. You can write it in without the proper tsuras haosios. So you don't have any rayas as the tsura of the letter of kufin. Now goes Maimonios, he says that a ksiva daka that we write in shtari adiotos is not considered a real ksav, and it's still the shtar is still considered a valid shtar. It has totally different dinim when you're writing stam. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with a hudav kasav toward the bottom of the page. Everyone have a great day.